Turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. We'll be reading verses 22 through verse 25. 22 through 25. And then I will turn over to one scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. But if you'll stay with me there in 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning verse number 22, I'll read the even verses if you'll join with me on the odds. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning verse number 22. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. And then I'll read Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the time we come this morning to be able to read and open up this good book. I do pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, draw our attention to what the man of God has for us. Lord, I pray the special speak to our hearts. It's a great morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Song this morning. I want you to look at verse 24. Brother Bragg read with us a moment ago. This is David speaking about halfway through the verse. He says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So I want to speak this morning from this passage on the subject, the cost of an acceptable sacrifice. The cost of an acceptable sacrifice. And let's ask the Lord's help today as we get into the Scripture. Father, we're grateful today for the people who would come out in this type of weather and the bitter cold, the wind. And thank you, Lord, again for the safe arrival and journeying mercies. And Father, I pray that you'll meet with us. God, it's good to come, but it's sure a lot better to come when you're here and you show up and you speak to our hearts. And Lord, we sense your presence this morning. We need you now, Lord, to take your word through the Spirit of God and deal with our hearts. God, we give ourselves to you. I pray that you'll take our minds, our hearts, our souls, and Lord, help us to be just concentrated on what the Scripture has to say to us today. Give us your power as only you can. We ask and pray for your liberty in our services. So by faith today, we claim it. We trust that, Lord, the message will be used to help bring revival in our hearts to our church. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. We live in a society that has been molded to believe that the government bears the responsibility to provide for the welfare of the people. Now, this was not the pattern for years and years in our country. One of the seven Judeo-Christian principles on which America was founded was a strong national work ethic. Pay your way was the foundation on which this country was built. There have been two different ideologies that have permeated American thinking over the past in our existence. You know, there was a day when immigrants, like my mother-in-law, in the early 1940s, what was it, 41, 42, 43, my mother-in-law came over from Poland, Germany. She came along with how many thousands of others in that time frame because of the promise that they would have an opportunity in America to work and earn a livelihood. That was the promise. Now, thousands upon thousands are pouring into our country because of the promise that they will be taken care of for nothing. Now, friend, believe me, that ideology, those two different ideologies, attract two different types of people altogether. Two different types of people altogether. And that's what we're facing in our country today. Now, in our passage, we read of David, who felt strongly that pay your way applied to his service for God. Because he said in verse number 24, I will not offer to the Lord God that which cost me nothing. I'm not going to do that. That's a person of character speaking. All right? I'm not going to offer to God that which cost me nothing. Now, we're not talking about salvation here because you can't offer anything to God in exchange for salvation. We're talking about service for God. We're talking about living for God. We're talking about honoring God. You don't get saved by doing anything other than simply trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Because salvation is the free gift of God. It cannot be purchased and cannot be earned. Okay, that's works. What we're talking about here is our service for God. He said, I'm not going to offer to the Lord God that which cost me nothing. Now, that's quite the opposite of today's mentality in a lot of Christian places that goes something like this. If it's going to cost me to serve God, count me out. If it's going to cost me to serve God, count me out. Now, if it doesn't cost me anything, I'm in. But when serving God starts costing me, I'm out. Well, David didn't have that attitude. David said, I won't offer to God that which cost me nothing. Let me give you the setting of the story, what's happening here in our passage. David was nearing the end of his kingly reign over Israel, and he angered God when he took a head count of all the fighting men in Israel. I won't have time to go into all the whys and so forth of that. He just took a head count of all the fighting men in Israel. Now, his right-hand man, his chief of staff, if you will, Joab, he attempted to talk David out of this numbering. So you don't need to do that. Said David, he said, you know that God has always made Israel 10,000 times more than what she really is. And folks, that's still true today. There's no explanation for Israel's victory in the 1967 Six-Day War. There's no explanation for Israel's victory in 1973 other than God made them bigger than they are. They're because they're His people. And so that's what Joab is saying. He said, why do we need the number of the folks? He said, God makes us more than what we already are. You know that. Well, David didn't listen to Joab. And so the numbering took place. It took 9 months and 20 days to accomplish the numbering. As soon as it was done, David knew in his heart he'd displeased God. As soon as it was finished, he knew he had displeased God. Then God sent His prophet Gad with a message to David. Gad came in and told David, he said, I got a message from God to you. You've really upset God by angering the men. He said, God is going to punish you. And God is going to deal with you in a punishment. And you can have your one of three options. If you have your Bible open, look at verse number 13. You'll see the options that God gave to David. So Gad, the prophet, came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? That was option number one. Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? That was option two. Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land. That was option number three. Said David, God's going to deal with you. One of three ways, one of three options, you choose which ones. That's what Gad told David. Well, David chose the latter one because the latter one dealt specifically with the hand of God on the people. And here's what David said. He said, I know that God will be more merciful than man will. I know that God will be more merciful than man will. So that's the one he chose. He chose the pestilence. Well, God sent the pestilence, the plague, into the land. Listen to this. 70,000 men died because he numbered the fighting men. Now, listen very carefully. I am not for adultery. I'm against adultery. A lot of people believe that the worst thing David ever did in his life was commit adultery with Bathsheba. Do you know how many people died as a result of David's adultery with Bathsheba? 4. 70,000 men died as a result of his self-will. Now, I'm not for adultery. And anybody living in adultery is living in sin against God. But before you lift up your nose and look down your nose at somebody who's committed adultery as being the most heinous thing that ever could be done, you better take a look at what happened here when this king lifted himself up in self-will. 70,000 people died. And God stopped short of His original intention. He had mercy on David, and he cut the plague short. After the plague was done and 70,000 people were dead, Gad came back to David, the prophet came back, with another message. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to build an altar and offer a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Urana. That's what we read about with Brother Bragg just a few moments ago. He was of the kingly lineage of the Jebusites. Now, when David came over to see Urana, Urana saw him coming, recognized him as the king of Israel, and Urana said, okay, what you here for, David? David said, I need to buy your floor, and I need to build an altar, and I need to make a sacrifice to God. And Urana said, you're not buying anything from me. He said, here's the animals, here's the floor, here's the instruments, here's the everything you need, the stone, here's everything you need. You can have it for nothing. I'll give it to you. It's all yours. Take it and use it. And David said, no. I will buy it at full price. I will not offer that to God which cost me nothing. I won't do that. It's not fair. It's not right. I won't offer to God what cost me nothing. That's the story here. Now, every Old Testament story usually finds itself woven into a principle in the New Testament. That's why I asked Brother Bragg to read for us Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, which he did a little while ago. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, listen, folks. Paul beseeches the Christians in Rome to present a different kind of sacrifice to God than the one he asked for from David. The one that David offered was a dead sacrifice. They killed the animals, drained the blood. The animal was dead when they put it on the altar and offered it to God. Paul said, in the New Testament day and age, God is not interested in a dead sacrifice. What God wants is a living sacrifice. a living one. You see, the Old Testament day and age of dead sacrifices ended on the cross of Calvary. Now, you'll see it pick up again in the millennial kingdom age. The children of Israel will start offering sacrifices again. You'll see it pick up. But in this New Testament church age, when basically Gentiles are coming to Christ, it's a different kind of sacrifice. The one that David presented to the Lord was a dead sacrifice. You and I are to present a living sacrifice. David presented a dead animal. The living sacrifice you and I are to present to God is our bodies. The living sacrifice that God desires is me. The living sacrifice God desires is you. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about service. We're talking about living for God. He desires me. He desires you. I am to present my mind, my eyes, my lips, my ears, my tongue, my hands, my feet, and my heart, my life to God every day that I live. I'm supposed to make God a living sacrifice. That's my gift to God. My gift to God is my body. I'm offering my body and all that it brings with it. My heart, my eyes, my ears, all of me to you, God, on a daily basis as a living sacrifice. That's what God wants from me. That's what God wants from you. You see, folks, listen, the Christian life will never be enjoyed if all you are interested in is what you can get out of Christ. You're not going to enjoy the Christian life. People will say that from time to time. Say, I'm just trying to get out of Christianity all that I can get out of it. I'm just trying to get all that I can out of God. I'll tell you what, the Christian life is enjoyed when you are interested in what you can give to Christ. Not just what you can get out of Him. And when it comes to costing us when we give to Christ, people bail. But not David. David said, I will not offer that to God which doth cost me nothing. You see, folks, listen, David had benefited from the mercies of God. Now, remember that third option was the plague? And 70,000 people had died as a result of that plague. But God had mercy on David, and he stopped short of what he originally intended to do. Many more people could have died and would have died if God had not been merciful to him, to David. It was God's mercy. Now listen, don't miss this. It was God's mercy that David did not want to abuse. He didn't want to take advantage of the Lord's mercies. He didn't want to take advantage of it. Let's see. What was the motivation that Paul used in Romans 12:1 to encourage you and me to present our bodies to God? Didn't he say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God? The same motivation that caused David to realize, man, God's been good to me. God has had mercy on me. I'm not about to offer God something as a sacrifice that cost me nothing. That would be abusing God's mercy. That same mercy Paul calls us to consider when God asks us for our living sacrifice. Stop and consider God's mercies. Stop and consider how God has shown mercy to you. Stop and consider how God has shown mercy on your family. And you stop to consider how many ways God has been merciful to you and yours. And as a result of that consideration, give your body to God. And don't just give it to Him if it costs you nothing. Be willing to give it to Him when it costs you. Are you willing to do that? David said, I will give to God that which doth cost me nothing. We need to have that attitude today, all because of God's mercy. Don't be a freeloader when it comes to the mercies of God. Here is a fair question that I should ask myself, and you really should do the same, folks. Is my sacrifice, is the sacrifice of my body, my life, I'm not to give a dead sacrifice, I'm to give a living one. Is the sacrifice of my body, is the offering of my body as a living sacrifice to God, is it costing me something? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to serve notice on us today, that if it's pleasing to God, it will cost us something. If it's pleasing to God, it will cost us something. Let me tell you about a couple of things here. First of all, it costs to offer a holy sacrifice. It costs to offer a holy sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holy. The idea that in current day America, we can offer a holy sacrifice to God that costs us nothing is a fairy tale. You and I will have to pay a price to offer God a holy sacrifice. Folks, holiness has always been a part of the offering to God. Even when it was a dead sacrifice back in the Old Testament, those priests had to go through certain protocols. They had to go through certain peculiar and different things whenever they would bring the offering or the sacrifice into God. All of those peculiar steps, all of those idiosyncrasies, all those protocols were in place because the sacrifice had to be holy. Now that the dead sacrifices are over, the days of dead sacrifices are over, it is still necessary that the living sacrifices of today are holy as well. That means my body and your body are to be offered to God holy. Not W-H-O-L-L-Y. H-O-L-Y. So what does holy mean? Well, the definition of holy, according to Webster, says this: we call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God and his life is regulated by the divine precepts. His heart and his life. You know what holy involves, folks? Holy involves both the inside and the outside. The heart is the part of the body and must be clean and right so that what God sees matches what man sees. Holy means set apart unto God for His honor and His glory. It is impossible for you and me to be holy in this day and age without it costing us something. There will be reproach. There will be misunderstanding. There will be self-denial. There will be whispers. There will be cynical statements. It's all part of the cost. But you and I should be willing to pay the price to live holy and offer that kind of sacrifice to God on a daily basis. Holy. I read about a little animal this week that's quite an illustration. In the forest of northern Europe and Asia, this little animal called, I'm not even sure I'm even pronouncing it right, ermine, either ermine or ermine. It's also known as a stoat. Maybe that's a more familiar word. It's like a weasel. And he is known for and wanted for his snow-white fur in winter. Now, when I lived in Iowa, I got into trapping just for a little bit. I thoroughly enjoyed it. There were guys in the church who made big money trapping during the month of November. It was unbelievable money because the fur prices were up in those days and they're deflated today and not worth near as much as they were. And I enjoyed it. It was a break. It was a little bit different. And I enjoyed trapping. And it caught a lot of raccoon, caught a lot of muskrat, and I caught a few mink. It was always nice to catch a mink because, and by the way, mink stink. They really do. They stink terrible. They smell like a skunk. They really do. But mink fur was more pricey. It was worth more money. Well, this little stoat lives over in Europe and Asia. He has perfectly snow-white fur in the winter, and it's worth a lot of money. Now, he instinctively protects his white coat against anything that would soil it. Instinctively, by nature. He's got this beautiful white coat in wintertime, and he instinctively protects it from anything that would soil it. Now, if you're a trapper in that part of the world and you want to catch a stoat, what the trappers do over there is they take advantage of this instinctive nature of this stoat. They don't set a snare or a leg trap like you would for a coon or some other kind of animal like that. They find where the stoat or the ermine's home is, where he lives. Usually it's a cleft of a rock or the hollow of an old tree. And they will go there and they will take grime. And they will smear grime, dirt, filth, oil, all kinds of grime. They'll smear oil all around the entrance of the ermine's home. And then they'll even stick their hand in and wipe the dirt and the grime in the entrance of that little animal's home. Then they turn the dogs loose. And the dogs get on the trail of the little stoat, and guess what the stoat does? he runs for home. But when he gets there, he stops short. Because all around the entrance to his home and inside the entrance to his home is smothered with grime. And rather than soil his white coat, he stays outside the home. And the trappers catch him. For the stoat, purity is more precious than life. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been born again by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are washed as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18, come down, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. And the snow, the white robe of righteousness, the white coat of righteousness that you and I received upon the moment of salvation is because Jesus Christ shed His precious blood on Calvary. He gave His life in mercy to you and me, so that we might be enrobed with a coat of righteousness. A clean, pure, white as snow coat of righteousness. Are we not willing to pay a price to keep it clean and offer Him holy, living, holy thinking, holy behavior, holy motives, holy intentions? You know, is being clean, pure, and holy worth the price that it cost? Paying a price for purity ought to be something that all of us are willing to do because of God's mercies. You know, we had a special day here last October, September, I forget when we had it. Maybe it was August. We called it a day of purity. Remember that? And a bunch of fellows and older teenage boys and even younger ones turned out for that. And Brother Gellis was here. And we divided up and we had sessions on living pure and being pure and living right and holy and clean as men. And one of the things that Brother Gellis did in his session was talk about the different things that are available for use on the Internet to help keep things right if you have trouble with being tempted on Internet websites. And he talked about this this program called Covenant Eyes. And I know some of the guys in the church got covenant eyes. And it was a while back, a brother in the church came to me. And he said, Pastor, he said, I got to talk to you. He said, I need help. He said, I messed up. I'm on the wrong websites. I said, okay. We talked about it for a while. We talked about how it was against God. We talked about he needed to confess it, and he had. And now he was seeking to get right. And I said, okay. I said, now, look, Brother Gellis, and I pulled out the information. I said, Brother Gellis told us about Covenant Eyes here. You need to get it on your devices. And it cost about, for one person, it cost about $10 a month. I can't remember. I think it's around $9, $10, $11 a month. And you go on there, and I got an email from Covenant Eyes. Mr. So-and-so has requested that you be his accountability partner. That means every website that brother goes on, they record it and they send a copy of it to me. Every website he goes on. Every time he opens a web page. Every time he goes anywhere on the Internet, they got a record of it. And once about every 2 weeks, maybe even once a week, I get an email and it says, so-and-so, please open this credibility report for so-and-so. And I've been opening those credibility reports and every one of them is, the report for so-and-so is clean. 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 And I'll see him here in the church and pull him aside in the hallway or in the office and say, man, I got the accountability report and it looks good. He said, I wish I'd have done it years ago. Now, you know what it's costing that brother financially? To be right. I'll tell you what else it cost him. It cost him in humility. Because how would you like to go and sit down with your pastor and say, I need help? I want to tell you something, folks. What price are you willing to pay to present God a holy sacrifice? A holy sacrifice. That's what this brother has decided. A holy sacrifice. I'm going to tell you something, that fellas, if you are in trouble, you best be careful. And you better get some help if you need it. And it ought to be motivated more than just the fear of being caught. It ought to be motivated by wanting to present God a holy sacrifice. H-O-L-Y. Holy. Pastor Cole from a different state, distant state. This has been some time back now. He said, I need some advice. He said, I need you to help me with something. He said, I got a young man in the church, young married man. Probably, I would say, late 20s, early 30s. Had a couple of kids. That's a good marriage. Good relationship with his wife. So his wife was out somewhere else with the kids, visiting mom and dad, I think. Said that while she was gone, he got on the website. Got on the website and didn't stay on there very long. Just went on there, glanced around, got off. Some days, a week later or so, he got an email or a text message. I forget what it was. Email, I think. Text message. And it said something like, I'm between ages 14 and 17 and looking for a little fun. If interested, meet me at so-and-so. His wife was still gone, and he got in his car and drove down there. On the way, he was sitting at a stoplight. He texted on his phone. He said, I am uneasy about this. This is not good or right. I'm not coming. He never sent it. He went to the place. As soon as he pulled in, the policeman stepped out and said, you're under arrest. It was a sting. He got arrested, thrown in jail. For 10 years, he'll bear in his record he's a sex offender. He can't live in the same house with his own children. You see, listen very carefully. It might cost us to live holy, but it costs more not to. Far more not to. If you think you're going to go through this day and age presenting your body to the Lord Jesus Christ in a holy fashion without it costing you something, you're mistaken. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you self-denial. Some of your friends are not going to understand you. Some of your family, you will live in reproach with some of your own family members. There will be cynical statements. There will be whispers. There will be talk about you at the family Christmas parties because you don't do this or you don't do that. It's all in an effort to, not because you feel like you're better than anybody else, but you are interested in presenting to God a holy sacrifice. That's holy. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel. And David said, I'm not going to present to God that which doth cost me nothing. And friend, if you and I are going to present God the right kind of sacrifice, it's got to be holy. And in this day and age, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost you to be holy. It's going to cost you to be holy in your television. It's going to cost you to be holy in your music. It's going to cost you to be holy in your entertainment. It's going to cost us to be holy. It's going to cost us in popularity. It's going to cost us, sometimes within our own families, to be holy. But the cost of not living holy is far greater than the cost of living holy. It really is. David said, I won't present that which to God which doth cost me nothing. It cost to offer a holy sacrifice. Let me say number two this morning, that it costs to offer an acceptable sacrifice. I should have had you turn to Romans 12:1 because here's what it says again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Watch now. Holy, and then listen to this. Acceptable unto God. Now, church, the word, the key word here is not the word acceptable, although that's an important word. The key words here are unto God. Key because man does not see what God can see. Man can only see the external, but God sees the internal. And you know what? In Amos chapter 5, God told the children of Israel, He said, stop your offerings, stop your singing, stop your sacrifices. This is what He said. I will not accept them. Now, to man, they look great. Wow. Look at that sacrifice. Listen to that song. Look at that offering. Look at what that person is doing. But God sees what man can't see. And God hears what man can't hear, and God knows what man can't know. And God knew that behind the presentation of the offering or the sacrifice, there was a wicked heart. An ugly heart. And God said, don't bring me your offering, and don't bring me your song, and don't bring me your sacrifice. I will not accept them. Thumbs down. They looked fine to man, but they were not acceptable to God. You see, God sees and hears and knows those things that no man can see, hear, and know. Now, folks, look, we can put on a good face. We can make a good presentation. We can put on a good show. But God sees all and hears all and knows all. And in the end, a good-looking offering presented with an unclean heart, it's unacceptable to God. It's unacceptable to God. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live serving God in song or teaching or preaching or witnessing or trying to be a husband or a father. I don't want to live and present something to God that on the outside looks good, but on the inside is full of corruption. As God said, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. He turns thumbs down. It cost us to give a holy sacrifice, to offer a holy sacrifice. It cost us to offer an acceptable sacrifice, an acceptable one. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your offering to God, the offering of your body, the offering of your life, is it holy? And is it acceptable unto God? I'm not talking about perfection here, friend. But I am talking about something different than putting on a good show. But behind the show, there's filth. There's dirt. Are you with me this morning? Either it's real dead or it's real quiet. I don't know. This is what we're talking. What is your offering? Is it holy and is it acceptable to God? Yes, it's important what man sees, but it's more important what God sees. What God knows. It costs to offer a holy sacrifice. It costs to offer an acceptable sacrifice. But as I said about the last one, it may cost you to offer an acceptable sacrifice. It may cost you to keep a pure heart and a clean heart and to keep a right heart. And folks, come on. Let's not kid ourselves. Come on. It takes diligence. It takes care to keep your heart right with God. It takes care. You won't do it just by floating through life. It's being conscious. It'll cost you. But as I said before, it may cost us to present an acceptable sacrifice, but it costs more to offer an unacceptable sacrifice. Did you ever use this terminology? You get what you pay for? Did you ever buy something cheap in order to save yourself money? Only to use it for 6 days and then it breaks? You say, well, I should have, the name brand is more expensive because it's the name brand. But there's a reason why it's a name brand. I guess I should have just paid the price. You and I have all said, you get what you pay for. And when it comes to what it costs us to offer ourselves to God, listen carefully, we get what we pay for. You don't want your offering to cost you anything? That's what you get. You get what you pay for. It'll be unholy and unacceptable to God. But if you're interested in offering a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God, it's going to cost you. But you get what you pay for. You get the opportunity. Again, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about buying salvation. I'm talking about offering ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable. It'll cost us. It'll cost you. You cannot, teaching this upstairs in our class this morning, to the adults up there in our beginner's class, that you cannot walk in lockstep with this world and be pleasing to God. Why don't you have any tattoos? Why don't you? I'll use the illustration to close with it. I've used it before. Maybe I've used it too much. But there's young people here, and I never get tired of using this for young people. When our oldest daughter, Hannah, went to college, she worked at a daycare center with a bunch of young college-age girls her age that were not saved. And she started dating Jason, and of course these other girls were dating boys, and they would talk about their evenings and their dates and so forth, and they would talk about their behavior with the boys, and Hannah would just, and they teased her. The day came for Hannah and Jason to get married. They got married right here back in whatever it was, I forget now. Sometime. In the fog of the last 10, 11, 12, I don't know, a long time ago. But anyway, they went on their honeymoon, then back to Elgin for her to finish her last year of Bible college. And she went back to work her first day back on the job. Those girls were merciless. Well, did you and Jason finally do this? Did you finally do that? Is that legal now? Is that okay now? She didn't say anything. End of the day came, about 6 o'clock, they clocked out, punched out, walking out to the car. A voice from behind her, Hannah, wait up just for a minute. She turned around. Here was one of those girls that was part of the crowd that was mocking her. And she said, I'm sorry for being a part of that. It was wrong. And then she said, the truth of the matter is, all of us know you did it right. I'll tell you what's happening to our Christianity. We don't want to pay the cost. If it's going to cost me reproach, if it's going to cost me popularity, if it's going to cost me at work, if it's going to cost me in my future promotion on the job, if it's going to cost me this or that, count me out. David said just the opposite. He said, if it's not going to cost me, I want no part of it. I've been such a recipient of God's mercy. I will not offer to Him that which cost me nothing. That's quite a statement. Father, bless us and help us, please, in this day of compromise and in this day of worldliness, Lord, when the church seems to be affected more by the world than we are affecting the world. Help us, please, to offer to You the kind of sacrifice that's pleasing, holy, and acceptable. Father, help us to be willing to pay the price, whatever it may be. If it's unpopularity, if it's whispers, if it's cynical statements from co-workers, if it's misunderstandings within our own family unit, help us, Lord, to be willing to pay the price. So that we can offer to You that which You deserve, which You love, which You're pleased with. A holy, acceptable sacrifice. Speak to our hearts this morning, O Holy Spirit of God. Help us to be like that little animal. That rather than go through the muck and the grime and the filth to be safety, he puts his own life in danger. God, help us not to soil this coat of righteousness that You've given to us, that Jesus purchased at great cost. Help us to be willing to pay whatever it cost to present to You a holy, acceptable sacrifice, our bodies on a daily basis. Please help us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if the Spirit of God came today and spoke to you in a personal, special way. Maybe something that was said in the message resonated and God used it and said, Pastor, pray for me. I really, really want to present that kind of sacrifice to God on a daily basis. I want to present a holy, acceptable, living sacrifice, even if it costs me. Even if it costs me. I need to be more diligent. God spoke to me this morning about it. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're sitting? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. Anybody else? Pastor, I should have been a part of that crowd that raised a hand just then. Somebody else this morning, pray for me. I need to present that kind of offering to God on a daily basis. No, it's something we have to work at and pray for and seek and long for and stay in touch with God about daily. There are no mechanical robots, Christian robots. No. It takes work, effort, care, consciousness. God help us. I wonder today if there might be somebody in our midst who would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. I'm not sure if it's heaven or hell. I have no idea. Pray for me. Anybody like that, would you slip your hand up this morning? If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, I'd love to pray for you as we close the service. Anybody like that today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, but you need to be baptized and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, then you're willing to do that in obedience to Christ. Now is the time you come and present yourself this morning for believer's baptism. Father in heaven, I pray your word will do a work in our hearts. I pray that, God, we would be willing to pay the price to present to you a holy, acceptable sacrifice of our bodies on a daily basis, living sacrifice, to be a witness and a testimony for you by your great mercy, because of your mercies. We'll thank you for it. Bless this invitation to our hearts. We need, God, to respond to what you've said to us today. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? What does God want? He wants a holy, acceptable sacrifice. Many, many hands were raised this morning. Would you want to obey the Lord? Would you come? Offer to God that which pleases Him. While we wait today.